Welcome then to another episode of Tatum Talks. I'm Ian Brannan, and we are joined once again by British Speedway legend and three-time world long track champion, no less, Kelvin Tatum. And, well, Kelvin, you've had a busy time because it's happening on all fronts, finally. We're dodging the weather. You had to get your Packamack out last weekend at Melilla. We'll come to that soon, but let's go back a few weeks to your trip to Prague. Again, a hazardous journey, lots of beer holes to navigate your way around. You made it back in one piece, which is good. And it was another fantastic evening for Martin Vasilik there in Prague.
Yeah, it was. And we had to have a Packamack again for Prague because it rained pretty much throughout the whole weekend. And they had the covers on the track, which saved the meeting. Qualifying was cancelled as a consequence. But I've got to say that in those circumstances, the way that worked out, you know, the covers did a fine job and we got a Speedway meeting on. It wasn't a classic as a consequence, and you can understand that. Off the back of the first three, where they'd all been pretty good, and Landshut was a pleasant surprise. Prague, there was a great crowd there as well. It was a really good atmosphere, very well attended, and Martin Vasilik coming through in flying colours. Disappointment for Jack Holder missing out on the final. But for Martin Vasilik, that is quite an achievement. He isn't the most consistent at Grand Prix, but to come back for three consecutive years, effectively at your home Grand Prix, with all that weight of expectation, that just shows you the type of character he is. And he came up with what was a brilliant win. So, yeah, fair play for everybody concerned to get that meeting on. It was a decent Grand Prix. It was an exciting result. But Bartosz Marszalek, not at his best. He makes another final and walks away with a 12-point lead, which is just shows you again how consistency is so important at Grand Prix level.
It was also a good night. Well, firstly for Vasilik, as we mentioned, winning it, but he joins a bit of a select crowd, doesn't he, in Jason Crump, Nicky Pedersen, Ty Wolfenden, being a three-time winner in Prague, and something that obviously he loves about that particular track, always goes great there. But also a good night for Freddie Lindgren, who's had a bit of a tough start to the Grand Prix series up to that point. It's not really gone his way, considering he was battling Smarshlik for the world title last year. But it was the one where the corner was turned maybe there for Freddie, and things started going better for him there and in his domestic racing as well.
Yes, he won the Swedish Championship, which clearly was a boost and never does you any harm. It was a fine ride in the final by Freddie Lindgren to get the better of Bartosz Marszalek. He passed him. It's not an easy thing to do. And finishing on the rostrum after Warsaw and Landshut had been really quite poor Grand Prix. He started pretty well, though, in Croatia. He'd made the rostrum in Croatia. So no alarm bells. He didn't win a race there, but nor did Jason Doyle. And they both got on the rostrum. But the meeting in Landshut, they never got it going. But from what I'm hearing, or what was the word on the street, as it were, there were a few mechanical issues. And clearly they got those resolved. And he came through in flying colours. And it was a really good performance in Prague. It's not an easy place to overtake. And he was doing that. And it was a gritty performance from Freddie. So fair play to him.
So even though at this point Bartosz has not actually won a Grand Prix, he's managed to make the podium though, and he's there or thereabouts, ghosting along and sliding up to the top of the charts there, 66 points after Prague. And then, of course, we move on to the next Grand Prix, which was the most recent one in the memory at Melilla on Saturday. Again, big question marks over the weather there. The qualifying, of course, happened, but then this rain came in the forests in Sweden, and well, you had quite a long delay, didn't you? A couple of hours or so. And I think, first of all, what a testament to the track staff and the efforts there by all to get that meeting on. I think a lot of tracks in Britain, even in Europe, can take note there of how to turn a track around, because that looked an absolute mess. And you would be saying, generally speaking, that there'd be no racing happening for maybe 24 hours. But to turn that around in the time they did, half an hour, 45 minutes or so after the rain stopped, and then to produce the racing we saw in Melilla was a terrific effort, Kel.
It was. And I have been there before and something similar has happened. And that material there does dry pretty quickly once the rain stops. And it's remarkable how they can knock the track back into shape and we get some proper action. We did have a meeting on the Friday as well. We had the first round of SGP2 on Friday, which, lo and behold, was completely dominated by young Polish riders again. It was a Polish 1-2-3, which you didn't really kind of see that happening. But in the end, boom, there they were. Young Viktor Przemski won with a really good ride, actually, in the final. And then there's Bartosz Bambor. He could be another superstar. He's only 16. He finished second. And Sebastian Szostak back in third. So, yeah, they're delighted with that. The Polish domination continued. But, yeah, you're right about a Saturday night. Qualifying went ahead on a dry, nearly dusty track. But there was that forecast for that rain to come in had been there for quite some time, actually. I was a little surprised they didn't cover the track. I would say the only criticism I have is that they didn't cover it. Tough on everybody. Got it going. Best Grand Prix of the season. I mean, the racing at times was extraordinary. You know, it is a good shape. The DNA of that track is pucker. And when you get it, grip on the outside, bit of dirt on the inside as well, racing room. Some of the races were really very exciting indeed. Bit wet to begin with, but even I think it was heat three, I think Mikkel Mikkelsen went round the outside and rode really well. And that was just a glimmer and a taster of what was to come. And it was a really exciting night. And in the end, we saw the brilliance of Smarzelik. We hadn't seen it, although he'd been unbelievably consistent to that point and had a strong lead coming into that. He hadn't been at his best, but he had a draw that actually, if you look back, he had two gate fours during the evening where it was very difficult to do well from gate four. And he had it twice and he only dropped 1 point. And I think that was an indication that he was on top form. And his semi-final ride and the final were extraordinary. It doesn't get a lot better than that. And I think it was just a reminder to everybody that he's the best rider in the world. It was brilliant.
It was frightening to see how good he was and how he, you know, he stepped it up when required. And we know when the pressure was on a little bit or, you know, he had to get past someone, how ruthless he was. And I think that they put out the full footage from the drone camera. I know how much you love the drone camera, but the drone following the race was actually interesting to see it from the point of view of watching his line and seeing how the other riders stuck to the same line throughout the race. And, you know, either they went sort of kept tight or they went mid-track. But then you watch Smarzelik and how much he's using the entire track. He's by the fence and then the next minute he's dive-bombing up the inside and then he's tight on the first part of the corner and then he's wide coming out of it. So obviously gets his wheels in line earlier and then just using totally different parts of the track to anyone else. And only through that really following them round from behind, you can just see how nuts it is that he's riding this bike, banging it off the fence. And it's just, and that's why he's able to get round in the time that he does. I think it's just incredible to see but it requires bravery as well, doesn't it, to ride like that?
Yeah, it does. Yeah, total commitment, confidence. And the heart of a lion at times when he squeezes through gaps that you don't believe are there. He is a remarkable rider and we've seen it in the past. We saw it when, you know, I think that championship in 21 with Artem Laguta was extraordinary when they went head to head throughout the year and they won 5 Grand Prix each. Laguta actually got the better of him that year. But at times I do think that he needs a Laguta or somebody to come at him because he doesn't need to be at his best to lead or win a world championship. That is evident. He, in the first 4 rounds, he made 4 finals without really having to really dig deep. He rode out of his skin in Melilla. He clearly felt really good. They changed the bike after the first ride. He then was doing what you were explaining. The drone is good for that. You know, if you just want to sit there and watch a race and see where a rider's going, that sort of bird's eye view looking down on the track, it's cool, isn't it? It's really cool seeing him on the fence, on the curb. It's really fabulous stuff. And I think it gives you a real good indication of how quickly his mind is thinking. His racing brain is completely engaged. and of course you align that with some extraordinary skill, you see some pretty special performances. So yeah, he was outstanding, and you know, he's got a 17-point lead now. I think, you know, Robert Lambert rode solidly again. You know, I was pleased for Robert Lambert. He comes away second in the World Championship. I think that was a good effort from him. I can't wait for him to win one. He needs to win one because I think he'll move forward. Obviously, Jack Holder at the back in the final did a big favour for Smarzlik, and it could be a turning point, a real defining point in the season. But the track was great. Brilliant work by everybody concerned to get that meeting on. Freddie Lindgren, obviously, who had such a brilliant record at home, for him to miss out on the final, he'll be really gutted after bouncing back so well in Prague. We spoke about that just a few moments ago. Looked like he was going to get on a really good run of form, but those 8 points just wasn't quite enough on the night. But hey, it was an exciting meet. I think Robert Cabrera again riding good, pretty solid. Dan Bewley sort of again getting within touching distance of, you know, the final, but not quite. But he did have gate four. But then you reflect on Bartosz Smarzlik, and Smarzlik made it work off a four, didn't he? He made it work. He got there. So a little bit of frustration for him. But all in all, it was really exciting, and a great advert, you know, for Speedway when it was looking like they were fortunate. Sorry, I'm going on like an old woman, really. But the fact is that the they were lucky there because they didn't have a curfew. They didn't really have a curfew.
Yes.
So, yeah. You know, like we could have a two-hour delay and then get it on. If you'd been in Landshut in Germany, there was a curfew there of 10 o'clock. So that would have had to have gone ahead on Sunday. So the French organisers were obviously sort of like breathing a massive sigh of relief because they didn't have to reorganise about 100 flights and 100 hotel rooms. But, no, brilliant stuff. And Mr. Smarzlik, just a subtle reminder of how good he is.
Yeah, and of course now he extends his lead at the top of the championships. He's on 86 points already, and ahead of Robert Lambert in second, who's on 69 points. Jack Holder on 68 are your top three. Mm. At four is Mikkel Mikkelsen, who's on 59 points. Vasilik is on 53 points and fifth. And Freddie Lindgren, well, he's in the top six. He's on 52 points at the moment, only just in the top six, ahead of Dominic Cabrera by the 2 points there. But, you know, he's in the mix, I guess, as far as the long game's concerned, of making sure, first of all, you qualify for next year before moving on to the stuff. The British riders beyond that, Dan Bewley in ninth on 42 points. And another tough evening for Ty Woffenden, who's actually bottom of the pile right now on 21 points. And Kelv, you know, his desire to win is not any more diminished. I know that from speaking to him when we've done interviews with him in the last couple of weeks or so. But it just seems to be a frustrating time for Ty at the moment on certainly on the international front, and not really able to make the points stick, or make the start stick, or even sometimes get out the start or make up the ground like we saw Smarzlik do and blast through the pack. He's not able to make an impact at the moment.
Yeah, hugely frustrating time for Ty. There has been some changes in the team. I believe he's changed his mechanics. It's a really difficult one to, and actually it's a tough one to commentate on when you see such a wonderfully gifted rider. The sort of things that Bartosz Smarzlik can do, that's what Ty Woffenden used to do. You know, when he was winning his championships and winning Grand Prix, he was extraordinary, and he's got it there, and it must keep him awake at night, why he isn't being able to quite deliver that level of performance. We saw a really good performance from him in the British final, and I thought maybe that might be a catalyst for him to go back to the Grand Prix and really, you know, kick on from there. It hasn't happened. Could you argue that maybe he needs to step out of the Grand Prix to then sort of like refocus and then come back in? This year it's his worst campaign possibly ever. And when you look at his CV, it's very disappointing. So I don't quite know where it is, whether it's in his mind or whether it's a combination of factors. But clearly, he is far. It must be really difficult times for him, and maybe he feels that he just doesn't quite know what to do and doesn't know quite how to turn it around. He's riding well for Sheffield, Ian. He's riding well for Sheffield. He rode well in Manchester for the British Championship. So he's not riding like that when we see him in the Grand Prix. So there's something's not quite right there, and they need to get to the bottom of that.
Yeah, and I guess obviously different. I don't know if you've got different mechanics in Britain and different machinery, you would think, than what he's riding on the continent. So might be interesting to see how he goes when we have the Grand Prix in Cardiff as to whether, you know, it's the gear or not. But I think as well that there seem to be, because we were commentating at King's Lynn on that first bend, where, you know, overlooks the pits, and Woofy's pit was sort of down the back. It did seem to be sort of not overly confident with settings and stuff. There was a lot of changes happening after every heat, and he went out in his first heat and didn't really get anywhere. They came in, changed the back sprocket, and I think one or two of the small things. He went out and won the heat by a long way. The bike came back in, and there was a lot of work going on the bike, a lot of things being changed again. Went out again and scored a one or whatever. Mm. And you think, well, if the bike's just gone out two heats ago and won by a long way, why would you be changing so much stuff at once? There seems to be a lot of things changed. You know, there was changes going on to the jetting. There was changes going on to the clutch. And it seemed a lot of changes to make at once. How do you then isolate which changes worked and which hasn't when you're making so many changes to a bike in one go?
It's a fair point normally, because sometimes if you make two or three changes and you go out and actually go very well in the next heat, it's very difficult to say what actually was the main reason for the upturn in performance. If you do things one at a time, obviously you've got a much better idea of what's made the difference or not. I think this has been going on for some time. I don't think that is an isolated case. I think this is something that has unfortunately been part of the issues around Ty for a little while. I'm not entirely sure why that should be. He did admit, actually, that he, you know, Kingsland, they didn't get it right. They didn't quite get it sorted out. I think by and large, I think in Britain, he has. You know, when I've been watching him ride, he's been really going very well, actually, for the Tigers. And as I say, he rode very well again in Manchester. And there was something about him that night. I think he really wanted to win that. He really wanted to win it. But there is something about his demeanour on the continent, in the Grand Prix, that isn't quite the same. And that sometimes is difficult to find a way out, to find your... And I think personally it's more of a mindset. Because Ty Woffenden is a brilliant speedway rider. He is a very gifted speedway rider. And it's difficult to watch. I've seen him win all his world championships, so I know what he's capable of, and I'd very much like to see him return to that sort of form. So let's hope he can find a way through this difficult period, and whatever happens in the future with his Grand Prix status, at least grab something out of this season. You know, win a Grand Prix or get yourself back on the podium to sort of try and turn things around. That would be great.
Well, he has still got it, and he has been delivering it in this country as well. And one of the finest races I've seen this season was with Ty at Sheffield just a few weeks ago, where, you know, he was at the back, and you could see him working the speed up and cut through the pack in the second to last lap, and then in the final bend, just went, you know, almost Tony Rickardson wall of death style right round the boards at Sheffield, right on the line, and it was just, you know, breathtaking stuff. And that's the Ty Woffenden we want to see more of in the Grand Prix. As you said, you know, we see Smarshallik pulling these moves, and that's exactly what Woofy was doing in the Grand Prix, and he's doing it in the league, and he has still got it in there. So hopefully he can find that tie and entertain us all, because it's maybe he's just giving himself a challenge, you know, to put some pressure on himself and make it a bit more spectacular at the end of the season. Who knows? You never know.
Well, it could well be a season of two halves then. Let's hope that he has the second half, which starts in Gorjov at the end of the month. He cracks on and he returns to form. I think it will be very welcome. I mean, a lot of people will be excited about that because he's still a very popular figure. And he should be in the GP, but there's only so many wild cards you'll get. And if this form continues, it would be a surprise if he was invited back for 2025. So I think the second half of the season, he needs to, you know, produce some really strong results and then give the promoters and organisers a bit of a headache over him. You know, maybe he should be back in, but let's hope that's the case. But right now, the World Championship is dominated by one man. It looks like it will be his fifth World Championship. But I've got to say that the racing, aside from that, has been pretty good this season for the first five rounds. Really good.
Yeah, it has been a great start to the Grand Prix. And as you say now, moving on to, well, Bartosz Smarshallik's home, really, isn't it? He should be pretty handy at Gorjov. Always is, usually. But again, a fantastic stadium. Back to Poland, to the Edward Jankart Stadium in Gorjov, 29th of June for that one. And always a good atmosphere at any of the Polish tracks, and especially, as I say, for the Smarshallik fans, they're going to be out in force.
Yeah, absolutely. He's going home. He lives there. He rode for that club right from when he was a baby, almost. He's moved away to Lublin. Lublin is a very, very rich club with a massive sponsorship. And his number one sponsor is Orlen, which is the oil company in Poland. And obviously, they were very keen to have him. It's their club, effectively, in Lublin. So reluctantly, I think he moved away from Gorjov. But yeah, he has to be excited about riding at home. I know that he's excited about things when he's there. It wouldn't be a surprise at all if he were to win another Grand Prix. And it will be another very exciting night. It is a speedway town. You know, you mentioned Edward Jancash. Yeah, his statue is in one of the streets just outside, well, pretty much in the town centre. Can't believe that Bartosz hasn't got one himself. I'm sure he'll have one very soon, and they may have to build another stadium and name it at the Bartosz Smarshallik Stadium, because his success is extraordinary. We see some good speedway there, really good speedway. We've got four Grand Prix in Poland this year, and Gorzów, Wrocław and Toruń, the permanent tracks, are all smashing tracks. So all things being equal, we should be in for a treat again at the end of the month. So, very much looking forward to it. It's Martin Bashlik as well. He rides there after a disappointment in Milella, not getting to the final. Martin, he had a disappointing meeting there last year. I think he only scored about 3 points, which was a shock. So Martin will be looking to go great guns there in front of his home crowd.
So that's 29th of June. We've also got the SGP3 there as well, which is going to be the day before, isn't it? But the qualifiers for that at the time of recording this haven't happened yet. They've got to go to Tetro of the young guys to qualify for that. There's two qualifiers this coming weekend, so good luck to, I know Seth Norman is in that. We've also got William Cairns and Cooper Russian, I think, are the three Brit lads who are looking to qualify for that. And Cooper Russian and William Cairns qualified last year, didn't they? They got through to the main event.
Yeah.
So they're looking to do that again. And this is SGP3, it's the 250cc World Championship, really, isn't it? And William Cairns, I think he's probably looking to maybe progress out of this after this year, but I think there's a lot of fuss around William. He's the son of Paul Cairns, who's now the owner of Leicester Speedway. He's being he's been looked after, really, by Greg Hancock. He's been to Greg Hancock's house in California a couple of times over the last couple of years, and having coaching there through the course of the winter. Greg is coming over and mentoring him when he's over in Europe as well. So he'll have Greg Hancock in his pit, and an exciting rider. Whenever I've seen him ride, he's just absolutely smoked everybody in any heat that he's been in. I mean, he's very good, and I think it's and I know that actually Greg has introduced him to the folks at Gorzów, and I think he's been courted by all the Polish clubs are looking to get in there early as well. You know, there's a serious amount of interest in William Cairns, and I don't want to big him up too much, but it's great for British Speedway in the future that we have there is a definite sort of vibe around this kid. It could be a starter to hold it with the best coming through.
Absolutely, I hope he's not going to be overhyped and sort of come up short, because it's tough. It gets harder. It doesn't get easier. But young William Cairns appears to have a tremendous amount of support. And he's certainly making the right sort of contacts. So let's hope that he can make the right sort of progress and keep going up on an even keel. There'll be some downturns as well as some upturns. So, yeah, excited to see him. And let's hope that he can put in a strong performance in Gorzów, which effectively is a world final. It's just one round. It's a one-off night. So it's an exciting night for all those lads that make it after the qualifying. I very much look forward to that. So hopefully young William and Cooper Rush, and what was the other lad's name? I didn't know the other lad's name. Hopefully they can all get through.
Yeah, Seth Norman is the other kid who's a Brit who's in the semi-final this weekend. Yeah.
Okay. Well, to get to a world final in Poland. Just being there in and around it will be a fantastic experience for them all. So let's keep our fingers crossed that Tetro goes well and they can all get there.
Cardiff is coming up as well, of course, in August. Obviously, there's a break for the Speedway of Nations. We'll talk about that in a moment. But just one thing on Cardiff, you got the sprint race back, which will be on the Friday, and they're opening that up to the public, Kelf, and the qualifying and the sprint race will, because it was a bit of a dead atmosphere, wasn't it, when they did it in Warsaw. So they're looking to get 3,000 people in. I think all you've got to do is buy a program. If you buy a program and you can show your ticket, you can get in on the Friday afternoon at 3 o'clock for the sprint race and the qualifying, which will add an extra sort of dimension to it.
Yeah, exactly that. I actually spoke about this on Monday at King's Lynn, because Paul Burbridge, the press officer for the FIM, he actually gave me a heads up that they're going to launch it that night. So you're right, if you buy a program and you've got a ticket, then you can go in and watch it. In actual fact, that sprint race in Warsaw was very good and gave an extra element to the qualifying that wasn't there previously. There's jeopardy, there's real intent from riders. 4 points when you reflect on Dan Bewley winning in Warsaw. I think he came away with like 15 points in the end, because he scored 11 on the following evening. So it can bolster your score and help you along the way. But it really was exciting. And if you've got a few people in there to give it some added atmosphere, I think it will be well worth it. Because it was the first time we didn't really know what to expect. When the riders came out for their second qualifying times, suddenly you realise, well, this is it. You know, and we saw riders that had been slow become fast, and they rolled the dice, and it worked. So I hope we see something very similar again in Cardiff. I don't see any reason why we shouldn't do so. Really excited about that, and I'm hopeful that Cardiff will be another great event. You know, Warsaw worked well. If the track behaves itself in Cardiff, there's no reason why we won't see a decent GP.
Let's talk about British final. There's a lot of focus on the National Speedway Stadium this season, with the obviously Speedway of Nations, and I think our plan is to do a more dedicated Speedway of Nations focused episode. So give us a week or two, we'll hopefully sort that, because the teams are going to be announced well, certainly the long list, really, of the riders for the squads are going to be announced soon, I think. And so we'll have a bit of idea of who's likely to be in the frame for each side. So we'll talk about that. But certainly a good warm-up there for the folks at the National Speedway Stadium with the British final, with the three Grand Prix riders from Great Britain involved in Ty Wolfenden, Robert Lambert and Dan Bewley. Of course, Bewley, a home rider as well. And, well, it sort of got off to a steady start, as most meetings do, but there were some fantastic races throughout there and of course, a good semi-final and final as well.
Yeah, there were some riders that were injured. And you could have said, oh, well, that might just make it a little bit lopsided, but actually some of the young riders that came in, Drew Kemp and Anders Rowe, they all actually held their own, and they did quite well actually. Charles Wright had an unbelievable ride. Carl Howarth also had an unbelievable ride as well. They weren't able to maintain it throughout the evening, but still they put on a great show. And the National Speedway Stadium, once again, that track, you know, it always delivers some proper speedway, and it's really exciting stuff. And it was exciting to have the three Grand Prix riders in there. Robert Lambert obviously just didn't quite crack it. It was a surprise, that, for me, because when he came in to ride for Bellevue when they won the league 2 years ago, he was just incredible. He couldn't drop a point there. I mean, he was just so good. Maybe he said afterwards they may have just chosen the wrong engine. He brought an engine over and it possibly wasn't quite right. But aside from that, you know, Chris Harris making the final. That in itself was a fantastic story. He could have been going back to Cardiff. You know, he was, once again, he really did put his best foot forward. But, yeah, Tom Brennan, brilliant effort from him. I think probably the right guy to get the wild card for Cardiff. You know, he's a rider that's really improving. He's young. I think the experience of being in the meeting itself is a great one for him, and he seems a level-headed kid and going in the right direction. But the two boys out in front, I mean, Wolfenden in the semi-final was third and was looking like he was going to miss out, and then he did a stunning corner, didn't he? He came charging around the inside and got himself to the front. That was Wolfenden at his best, and then he got away, and then Bewley passing him, sneaking up the inside, and they went for quite narrow down the start and finish straight into the first corner, and Dan rode out of his socks there to get the better of Ty, and it was a great finish to a terrific night. And for Bewley to have that pressure and to win it 3 years on the spin, I think he would have been immensely proud of that. But it was a really good night, Ian, and I really enjoyed it. And I think, as I say, The track in Manchester, it's just right. It lends itself to modern day speedway, and it's always exciting stuff.
Yeah, tremendous event. Well done to Dan Bewley on making it three, and joins that illustrious club of hat trick winners on the spin, and among the great names of speedway. Well, Andy Smith is one, and Barry Briggs, Ivan Major, Ty Wolfenden, and now Dan Bewley. He's the fifth, isn't he, to do it? So it's quite an elite club.
It is, and I think he'll be very proud to have done it when all of a sudden, you know, they up the ante with bringing in, making sure that Wolfenden and Robert Lambert were there. They hadn't been there. I don't think Ty had ridden in it for nearly a decade. And so, you know, it was a shame that one or two lads missed out, like Richard Lawson and Rory Schlein. Obviously, Rory Schlein had a nasty accident just the day or two before, maybe even the day before.
It was the night before, yeah.
Yeah, so hopefully he will have a speedy recovery. But, you know, like Stevie Worrell had a real good go. He was pretty keen to try and be wild card again. He was desperate to get to Cardiff. But, no, it was a great night. And, as I say, the British final was an event to be proud of, and I'm sure Dan Bewley is I think when he reflects on that, I think he'll be chuffed to bits that he was able to pull that off, and he did it in style. It wasn't just floating around in front, you know, just literally waving to people. He had to really find it within himself to be a world-class rider, so that gave it, I think that gave it something a little bit special on the night.
Yeah, a great night. And yeah, I know that Rory was obviously devastated. He fancied his chances, did Rory Schlein, because I was commentating with him the night before, or a couple of nights before, and he'd had his engine serviced. He was all ready, and he fancied his chances. He was going to be meeting all of the big guns in Heat. Was it Heat 14? He'd earmarked that one. He said, this is the one, and he had them all in the one heat. And he said, I've only got to face them all in at the same time, so it means I don't sort of have a clear run of heats. He thought he was a good draw, but slid off. It was just a first bend's incident at Scunthorpe, and just slid into the fence backwards. It's one of those where, you know, 99 times out of 100 the rider just gets straight up and walks back to the pits, but this time he's injured a vertebrae in his neck, and I think maybe one in his back, broke some ribs, and broke his shoulder as well. So it was it didn't look spectacular, but it certainly did some damage. So he's home now anyway. I can say he's on his road to recovery, but it'll be a while. I don't think I did an interview for the British Speedway podcast with Mark Lemon, which was actually very interesting, because we're talking about the logistics really that they're having to go through in order to host a major event like the Speedway of Nations, and how big an outlay it is, how much it's costing them. It's cost them, they've spent over £500,000 so far, the owners and sponsors and whoever, to in order to cover the rights, to build the, it's cost them over £100,000 or more to build the temporary stand structure. The sheer cost is eye-watering for the Speedway of Nations, but saying that it's important that people back it, that people turn up and don't think, well, I'll go to the next one, because this is their chance with Warner Brothers Discovery to show that they can host a major world event, because they haven't done one under the current ownership, I don't think. And this is their opportunity, really, to show that they can get a big crowd in, they can run the event. If it goes well, then they're looking at a Grand Prix. That is, what Mark Lemon has said, a Grand Prix could be heading to Manchester, make a good job of this. If they don't, and Warner Brothers Discovery say, well, we don't think you're right or able to operate a big event for us, then they have to have serious questions about where the club goes in the future, because they need to build the business, they need to do bigger stuff. And so this, Speedway of Nations, for them, I know they've hosted big events before, but this is the acid test for the future now, this one, because, if they're going to get the bigger events to come there, then this needs to go well. And there's a lot of pressure on it. I was surprised. And, Lemo is having sleepless nights about this event.
Yeah, well, that's information I didn't know. I didn't appreciate quite how much it costs to run an event. I do know that it's gone up significantly since Warner Brothers have become involved. The fees to the FIM have gone up, and also their fee, I know, has increased. I don't think Warner Brothers can be too fussy, because they won't. If it's that expensive, they're not going to have they're not going to have people falling over themselves to run it. I think that Bellevue, it is interesting that you mentioned Grand Prix in Bellevue, because this is the last year of a three-year contract at Cardiff. Warner Brothers inherited that. That contract was already done, and this is the third year of three, whether that is renegotiated. The problem they've got for a Grand Prix, they can't get 20,000 people into Manchester. There's no way you'll get more than 10,000 people there, and that is something that would obviously be a negative against the National Speedway Stadium being able to host a Grand Prix. The crowds are down at Cardiff, but there's still probably 20,000 people going to a Grand Prix in Britain at the moment. So you've got to say, well, where else are you going to take them? Where else is going to be able to hold 20,000 people? There isn't one. There just isn't one. So I think, but then on the flip side of that, I think a Grand Prix in Manchester would be just fabulous. Absolutely fabulous. I think the problem you've got for the Speedway of Nations and the World Cup, with it, whichever way round you have it, is the qualifiers. It's a very expensive week for fans to come all week, isn't it? You've got to get there for Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday and Saturday. and the hosts, you won't see the hosts until Saturday night because they're seeded. It's not like you're going to see the hosts and the home nation race midweek. Doesn't happen. And I think that's a problem. And therefore, I can't remember seeing big crowds for any of the qualifying meetings in the history of those events. So I'd just like to think that the final, it will be absolutely heaving. Britain have a brilliant record in this in recent times. We won it not very long ago. We've got silver medals in the last 2 years. And we've got three riders that are going to be very much in with a sharp chance of gold medals again in July. So I would encourage everybody to get along, because not only have we got quality riders, we're also at a track where the racing is going to be extraordinary. So it's going to be a special week of Speedway.
Yeah, it sounds good for the actual final. I think Lemmer was saying that the main grandstand, the sort of middle part of it, is pretty much sold out now, and even in the far fringes of the grandstand, there's sort of a few tickets left around there, but not too many. So for the final itself, the main grandstand's looking pretty chocker already, and then around the rest of the stadium, there's still a bit of availability, but it is filling up nicely.
Sorry to interrupt, but that won't be enough. That probably only holds, I don't know, 2,000 people tops. I know that the temporary stand round turns 3 and 4 is going to hold 3, and I'm not sure how many you get down the back straight because that's standing there. But I would say probably the capacity there is going to be probably increased up to about, I would say, 5,000-6,000 tops. It's not a great deal of people.
Yeah, and I think Lemo said 7,000.
Yeah, but even so, and let's hope it's absolutely full. You know, when we were in Wrocław for the final last year, I would say probably you had 15,000 there. But let's hope it's full, because if it's full, there's no reason why it shouldn't be full. And as I say, Britain have got an outstanding chance. It's not like we're going to be making up the numbers. And Simon Stead and Ollie Allen, Rob Painter have done a great job leading that team, and let's hope that they can do the business again this year. So, you know, it's a fantastic speedway track. I think for the biggest events, obviously, when you bring in extra seating or extra stands, that's going to be a serious cost when it's also added up against what the FIM fees and what Warner Brothers require regarding their TV facilities and all the rest of it. It's a big, big operation. I see it on a regular basis. It's quite a thing. So, but I think Bellevue can do it. I'd be surprised if they don't get the place. And I do hope it's successful. I really do.
Yeah, well, we're not long to wait, but definitely if you can get down there and support it in person for any or all of those events, then your attendance will be greatly received, because, of course, it's, as mentioned, it's a bit of a test, really, with the current owners, and if it goes well, then that's going to be a gateway to more major events, and particularly specifically with a view of potentially a Grand Prix. And I don't know, we have, what, 5 Grand Prix in Poland now this year?
Is it four?
Is there a market, therefore, that we could argue that now with the top stars and stuff coming back here a little bit more, that we could sustain 2 Grand Prix if they were spread apart? If you had one in Manchester early in the season and Cardiff in its traditional zone at the back end, do you think we could get away with 2 in Britain and they would work?
You'd have to have them quite spaced out. I think the danger is that you dilute Cardiff. Cardiff, since COVID, unfortunately, hasn't got the same attendance as we had before. You know, you were up to about 40,000 people in Cardiff, maybe high 30s. The last, since we've come back from COVID, it's been less, significantly less. I think it's something that the previous BSI, when they were running it, were very conscious that they didn't want to dilute that. They didn't, because it's expensive to go to Cardiff. Hotels are very expensive. The tariff goes through the roof. And tickets are expensive. Potentially, if you go to Bellevue and it's not quite, it's probably not as expensive. Maybe people would choose to go there, but I don't know. It's a tough one. You know, Sweden had a couple of GPs for a while and they've dropped out. We're not the same as Poland. We don't have quite the same backing as Poland. You know, Poland, they'll fill a stadium anywhere for a Grand Prix. They'd run 10. But I think it will be, I can't answer the question dead straight. I think for me, the key question is, will the contract be renewed in the Principality Stadium? That's for me the most important question. If Bellevue are looking at doing a Grand Prix, have they been given a heads up that they'll go there rather than go to Cardiff? That might be more the real deal. We'll find out in the course of time. We won't have long to wait, Ian, on that, because as I say, there was a 3-year deal and this is the third year. I haven't heard that they're renegotiating. So let's wait and see. But Bellevue, if it goes to Bellevue, the venue itself, the racing would be fantastic.
Which is also bad news for the owners of Walkabout in Cardiff, potentially as well, because they're going to be significantly down if that is the case.
Yes, yes, exactly. I feel for them. I feel their pain, because I'm sure that particular weekend with the Speedway crowd, they do rather well. And their turnover is probably, it's a boost, something that they look forward to every year. But no, I'm sure. Well, that might be the thing that changes everybody's minds. You know, we got to go there.
It's all right. There's a Walkabout in Manchester. We can just transfer.
Yeah, I'm sure there is.
quick look at British Speedway then. Obviously, this is ever-changing. It changes really, really fast, obviously faster than the Grand Prix and stuff. But you were at King's Lynn on Monday night. You saw the debut of Jan Kvek, who actually went to Verikvek in his first heat, in fact, after that little tweak to his settings or whatever when he had a restart and won his first race. And not always easy for riders to adapt to British Speedway coming in for the first time, and but he seemed to settle in quite nicely at King's Lynn.
Yeah, he did, and I'm sure Rob Lyon is absolutely delighted. He had a couple of wins, ran out of steam at the end, but as I say, he'd done his job by then. Winning your first ride in a new country is always something that is really exciting, and he did a fine job, and King's Lynn as an overall did against Oxford. It wasn't really that close in reality. You know, King's Lynn were in the driving seat throughout the evening. But that story moving into it was obviously one that we built up to, and we gave it plenty of PR. And he lived up to the billing, didn't he? So that was brilliant, and fair play to him. And he'll be hoping that he can adapt to, you know, places like Ipswich and Leicester. I expect him to go well at Manchester. Because that is something, I think he's probably already ridden there as well. But, you know, the more technically demanding tracks might just challenge him a wee bit. But he looks a pretty good Speedway rider, and I think he'll be adaptable, and it'll do him the world of good. And it could be just the sort of catalyst that King's Lynn need to get on a really good run of form. So fair play to him. And just, although the result was never really in doubt at King's Lynn on Monday, it was nice to see Maciej Janowski go well. He's such a quality rider. He's had some really tough meetings for Oxford this season. Really tough. Where he's been, you can clearly see he's been trying very hard, but not getting to the front. You could see the confidence return on Monday, and he looked really good and back to his best. So that was very encouraging for them.
Yeah, and of course as well, I think since we last spoke, the big signing of Freddie Lindgren as well for the Birmingham Brummies. He's made his debut at Ipswich, but he's going to be making his home debut on the coming Monday at the time of recording this, when Birmingham are in action, I think, against King's Lynn, actually. So it'll be a meeting of the two newest signings on the international stage to come into British Speedway. But again, a huge signing, and great to have Freddie back in British Speedway, albeit, of course, different scene for him, making the move, of course, previously with Wolves. Unfortunately, he's no longer with them. Slightly strange. They asked to switch sides, but great to have him back at Perry Barr and in British Speedway as a whole, visiting all the tracks.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that we did mention this on Monday about the fact that we seem to be quite fashionable now, Britain, for riders to come back. And Freddie coming back to the UK, I think he's a safe bet for Birmingham because he has so much British experience. Quebec was more of a chance, more risk involved with Quebec because he didn't have any British experience. So he's hit the ground running, and Rob Lyon and will be keen for that to continue. But for Freddie Lingren, I mean, you know, with his experience of riding in Britain, I would like to think that he's going to be able to get double figures most nights, I would think. So, and he will help them. He will help them. You know, Kingsland, Birmingham have had difficult seasons so far. So if they're gonna make any sort of push towards playoffs, they've got to get on a really strong run of form very quickly. Otherwise, it's going to be done and dusted for them. But yeah, fair play. I like the ambition of the club. I hope it works out for them. I really do.
And of course, a big hole in the side at Ipswich. Obviously, you spend a lot of time with Chris Lewis. I know he's scoured the planet for any rider that can replace Jason Doyle. From what I understand, that they did have discussions. They made the call to Bartosz Szmarszlik to see if he could manage it, but he can't squeeze it into the schedule right now. But you know, you've got to admire them for asking the question.
Yeah, I did have that conversation with Chris. As you rightly say, we spent a bit of time together, and fair play to him. You know, like, they dive straight in there. I think June was always a busy month for Bartosz Szmarszlik, and I wouldn't think he would come this month. Whether that's dead in the water, let's just wait and see. Let's just wait and see, because if his schedule just frees up a bit, he might just be tempted to come across. We might see him a little later. They're doing very well, mind you, the Ipswich Witches, aren't they? Even though they've lost Jason Doyle, Scotty Nichols coming in, doing a good job for them. And I think Keenan Roo has improved a lot. I think the added responsibility on him, he's upped his game. Emil Seifutinov, after a slow start, has been outstanding just recently. I think he's been back to his very brilliant best. So I think Danny King's back as well, I think, Ian, isn't he? As he's ridden in the championship recently.
Yes, he rode for Red Car on Friday night. He got 10, made it to heat 15, no problems. So yeah, he'll be back on Thursday, I would think. Yep.
So that's good news for them. So, you know, they've sort of, like, with the devastating loss really of Jason Doyle, they've managed it very nicely so far. And who knows, we might have the best rider in the world here. That would be quite spectacular, wouldn't it, if he did decide to come across and pick up, because I think he rode in two races for Birmingham, I think. And yes, so that's the extent of his British career, Bartosz Szmarszlik. But clearly it had an immense influence on him, Ian, because I don't think he'd be the rider he is now without those two heats at Perry Bar. It just wouldn't be the same, would it? He wouldn't be able to do the things he's doing now if he hadn't have done those two heats at Perry Bar. Fantastic.
Yeah, it was. I mean, he's such a quick learner. He only needed the two heats to get what he needed from British Speedway, and then he was sorted. It's like, right, that's it. And then you saw him put the skills learnt in those two heats into that final at Melilla. That was all down to those laps when he was a 16, 17 year old, or however old he was when he came over here.
Yes,
but that would be an insane team, though. If Ipswich roll up in the grand final and they've got Emil Seifutinov and Bartosz Szmarszlik as two heat leaders, you know, that would be that would be box office, wouldn't it? For any team. Yeah. But if it's you know, here, I mean, crazy, but it could happen.
It might happen. I think it's a long shot, but it might happen, and it would be box office, and I'd go along and watch it because Bartosz Szmarszlik is that good, and Emil Seifutinov is arguably every bit as good, is arguably probably better than most riders in the Grand Prix, Emil Seifutinov. And it would be an exciting time. So, you know, when you look at the club that he rides for in Poland, Bartosz Szmarszlik, they've got Jack Holder, Freddie Lindgren, Maciej Sieniak, and Dominic Kubera. I mean, what a team that is. I mean, it's ridiculous. But if... if you had the Ipswich Witches with Bartosz Szmarzlik, Emil Seifutinov, Danny King, you know, I mean, Keenan Roo and the rest, I mean, yeah, it would be exciting times. So I don't know quite well. I know they looked at Kvek, but I think they wanted somebody. I think part of their thinking was that they were wanted somebody with a little bit more experience in Britain. As I say, it was risky, but Kvek settled in quite nicely the other night. But no, it's all building up quite nicely. I've got Bellevue v Leicester to look forward to very shortly. It's Bellevue, I think. They haven't really convinced me much this year, Ian. Bellevue.
Mm.
They've been a bit hit and miss, haven't they?
Yeah, they had their first loss at home on Bank Holiday the last time they rode, which was rain affected, wasn't it? It was called off before the completion against Sheffield. So they've had their first, I don't know, call it a technical loss, but you know it still goes down as a loss, doesn't it? They were losing at the time, even though Mark Lemon feels that if the meeting had run longer, they could have changed it around, but we'll never know. They've been good at home. Obviously, they're still without Brady Kurtz. He's going to be missing, and he'll be not back until July. I think he's trying to get back in time for the Speedway of Nations potentially, but he did ride, I think, as a bit of a comeback, and I think he scored a max or a paid max in Sweden, but then re-injured himself. He's got ligament damage, and so he's out again now for another couple of weeks. I think they're strong at home. Maybe the question mark with Bellevue, as with many teams, is how they get on away. They've been unbeaten until this last rain-affected issue on the Bank Holiday at home, but yeah, it's the away form where they've been a little bit more questionable. And Dan Bewley, spoke to Mark Lemon last night, you know, he said that maybe Dan Bewley hasn't really hit the heights that they know he's capable of for Bellevue, but then again, he has since won the the British final at Bellevue, and maybe he's coming into good form there. I don't know. So yeah, it's just maybe a question of consistency, but they've certainly they've certainly got enough to win at home. It's a case of avoiding for them what happened last year, isn't it? Of going great in the league and all that's well and good, but then if you get to the playoffs and you lose your away meeting, and you know it's all done, isn't it? That's it.
Their riders aren't quite as strong as they were last year, I don't think. Charles Wright and Tom Brennan sort of slotted in very nicely around Jaimin Lidsey and Kurtz and Bewley. I think that lineup was potentially stronger than the one they've got now. I think Norrie Bladorn is a young lad that he goes well, but then, you know, to me, they're not as consistent as they need to be. And Bewley hasn't been quite as good away from home as he would like. And as you say, he did reveal in an interview at the weekend in Melilla that he has been carrying injuries. And I don't think he says too much. I think he just keeps it to himself. But there's no doubt that it came across that Bewley was feeling a lot healthier now. And maybe that will enable him to be... He's a busy boy, isn't he? Rising three leagues and the World Championship. So, you know, when you're carrying an injury and you never really got any respite, it's not easy. You know, you're having to mend on the go. But Bellevue, I think, will be favourites going into that one. Leicester fighting with Oxford for the fourth place in the playoffs. Actually, you know, they're not that far behind Bellevue. So Leicester with Max Frick absolutely riding out of his skin at the moment. I mean, I don't think I've seen Max Frick ride better. If he can lead from the front like that, then Leicester have got a good looking team. I would think that they would be able to put a bit of pressure on them on Monday. And I think, you know, obviously Mr. Dixon there, Stuart Dixon, will be firing his troops up. He's signed Craig Cook. He's made a change at the bottom end there. He'll be looking for Cook to go there. And I would think down at reserve, they would probably fancy their chances, Ian. It could be quite a close contest if they put their best foot forward, and he'll be certainly hoping so.
Yeah, certainly could be. I didn't realise that until recently, Dan Bewley's been riding with a broken foot. I didn't realise that obviously he'd had this accident where he got run over, didn't he, after a Grand Prix. He was on his push bike, but he had a broken foot, because I saw him ride at Oxford a few weeks back when it was Oxford versus Bellevue, And he had a massive bash there as well. He got in a tangle and hit the back fence, and that looked like that could have been game over. But he got up and picked himself up and rode off and still bagged a load of points as he does. But then afterwards, he was walking around with his foot in a boot, and he goes, "Oh yeah, broke it in wherever, somewhere in on the continent." And yeah, so he has been riding through the pain barrier, probably covering it up more than we realised, to be fair to him. So that probably explains it. But yeah, let's see how he goes. But he's got a hugely, you know, big say in what happens now, whilst Brady Kurtz is out, who's been the captain and leading from the front, of course. And, you know, his points need making up. I think they've got Bomber guesting, haven't they, at Sheffield. I don't know who's guesting at... They've got Bomber at Sheffield this week. I'm not sure who's filling the gap at the National Speedway Stadium yet.
But I don't know. In due course, I'm sure I will be informed. But as I say, I think it's very important that Bellevue get back to winning ways at home. But I say, Leicester, when you look at their team, is a decent team. And Frick knows the place very well. Sam Masters, Ryan Douglas... Those type of guys, Luke Becker, I don't see that it will hold any fears for those guys. So it could be quite a tough night for the home team if they're not quite at it. I look forward to it. I hope it's a really good match. And then obviously looking forward to the end of the month again into the GPs. It's a busy, busy stretch of Speedway at the moment. So as I say, it's a sort of a moving target with British Speedway, but... There's no doubt that the playoffs are not done yet. It's not settled. You know, Ipswich are looking good, but I think, you know, Bellevue need to get on a better run of form. Leicester, I don't think we've seen the best from them. So, you know, decent night in Manchester should be... I'm hopeful that it'll be a good, really, really good league match.
Yeah, and did I commentate on the... I think I commentated on the first meeting between Bellevue and Leicester at the start of the season, which was the one where the rain came in about heat 7, and I think by about heat 13, it was they were riding round taking goggles off and stuff like that. It was Speedway from like the 1950s, and the ref... It was this point of the season where the teams had hardly ridden, and the referee basically said, "Whatever you guys are happy to go out there, I'm not going to stop you earning a living, but at the moment you want to toss the towel in, then you just let me know," because I think the result had already gone. It was a big win for Bellevue on the night, but the conditions were atrocious, but the riders were just pleased to be able to get out there and get four laps in, I think. But yeah, there's a great photo that Taylor Lanning took of Ben Cook, who's riding round with his goggles round his arm, and he's totally caked in it all. It was... You know, vintage shots.
Brilliant stuff. Well, hopefully, that novelty has gone now, Ian, of riding in the wet, because we've had too much of that. I'm hopeful that in what is meant to be the summertime in June, we will have decent conditions. But as I say, you know, the league will move on and there's plenty of it coming. But all these meetings now are pretty key, because I think for Leicester, they'll be looking to try and get something or keep it tight. And certainly they need to grab some points, because they're under a lot of pressure from Oxford, who are a little shaky. But hey, you know, like just lately, they would have lost last Thursday against Ipswich, I would suggest. It wasn't looking good for them. They got beat and lost everything at King's Lynn on Monday. So Oxford are under pressure. And if Leicester can get going, they might just be able to capitalise on that. But we'll see. I'm actually going to go to Oxford fairly soon at the beginning of July. But... No, it's, as I say, it's all warming up very nicely indeed. And as I say, with the Speedway of Nations coming around the corner in early July as well, there's a lot to look forward to.
There is, and look at that. 23 degrees and sunny in Manchester on Monday, Kelv. Unprecedented scenes.
I think that's a lie.
Have I got the wrong Manchester? Must be Manchester, Massachusetts,
yeah, I think
or something like that.
Somewhere in America, somewhere in the Midwest or something.
Well, take your T-shirt just in case. You might be all right. Well, look, thanks a lot, Kelv. It's been a pleasure as always, and we'll catch up soon about the Speedway of Nations, and the aim is to get. We're aiming for Simon Stead. Find out if we achieve that in the coming weeks.
We will.